Please welcome Michael Overcash. Michael enjoys collaborating with dermatologists and serves in Africa, Asia, and Latin America on medical mission trips every year. Before Michael attended PA school, he backpacked through 51 countries and made a living as a photographer.
So good morning. Thanks for everybody being here. It's a little lighter crowd on Sunday, but I promise you, I'm going to show you something you've never seen in your life. So just a quick survey. Who in this room has ever been out of the country before? Just a show of hands. Almost everybody, right? Who has ever volunteered in any capacity as a medical provider or medical professional? Who has ever done the two together? Has anyone ever been overseas and served? A few people. Who's thought about it? Is there anyone here who's considering you maybe one day might use your skills overseas to serve people that don't have access to healthcare? Well, great. So what we're going to do is answer hopefully every question you have about that, and we're going to sprinkle in there five cases of mysterious things that I've never even seen before until I saw them these times. So I promise you'll see something you've never seen, and a few things you know what they are. So I think, is this the clicker? Okay. All right, so I don't have any relevant disclosures, not really promoting any products. In fact, all the teams I have that I'm leading are all full for the next 6+ months, so I can't even take anybody else. But I can point you directions to where you can get connected with quality projects. Okay, so this is the program content, which we're going to cover today. Firstly, what is a medical mission? So it's a short-term investment in a long-term project. So the thing is your skills, especially probably all of you or most of you practice dermatology, that is something very rare globally. Most of the physicians in developing nations, especially West Africa, they leave. The best physicians all leave, leaving the most disadvantaged countries in the world with very few physicians, very few medical or healthcare providers, and especially very little specialists, very few dermatologists. For example, I'll be in Honduras in 6 weeks, you can get a tooth pulled for $20. But if you have a cyst, very normal cyst that you want excised, that's about $500. And the nearest dermatologist may be hours away and may have a year wait. It's just not gonna happen. You're just gonna have to watch this thing grow and worry that maybe it's cancer. So the things you do that you consider routine and normal and everyday that are here, they're special overseas. So why go? Can you really make a difference? Well, I would say that one thing is going overseas and seeing how so much of the world lives, it will stretch you. It will stretch you in such a way that you will never recover. But I mean that in the best kind of way. Everything you see around you, you'll be just look at it differently at just how good your life is here, how much access we have here. And at a side note, I kind of get offended whenever I see the word healthcare disparity. Healthcare, who provides healthcare? You guys, us. Are we not providing care? Are you withholding care from people for certain reasons? Okay, so the issue is really maybe utilization, or in a lot of places, access, right? And where we go, access is hugely different. In America, if any of us disappeared, we would be badly missed, but our patients would find someone else to see, wouldn't they? They'd be fine, right? How many dermatologists are there or derm practitioners in the country? 20,000, right? We're all honestly replaceable here. But when you go on a foreign mission, every single patient you see, if you hadn't seen them, nobody would have seen them ever. That keloid that keeps them from going to school, they'd still have it. That extra thumb that you amputated, they'd still have it. All right, all the things you do, you are completely irreplaceable, and there's nothing that feels like that at the end of the day, let me tell you, that when you made such a big difference with all the things you had every day, it's euphoric. So why go abroad? You know, I get this sometimes. Don't we have just as much need here in the United States? No, we don't. We don't. And if you think that, it's because you haven't seen the rest of the world. You have not seen what a hospital looks like in Western Africa. It has nothing like here at all. And we don't even understand what need is. For example, if you break your leg in much of the developing world, you're just the broke leg guy. You lose your career, that's it. You can't, even if you can get to a hospital, you can't afford the equipment which you have to buy outside the hospital, gloves, tubing, scalpels, ketamine. You can't even afford the surgery, so it will literally never happen. You may tie a stick to your leg, you make the best if you live, don't get infected, you go on. But if you treat that, even a simple skin infection, you could prevent sepsis and death or mycetoma, which we'll talk about later. For example, kidney failure overseas, the projects where I do, everyone that comes in with kidney failure, we just tell them they're gonna die. This lady here, she had two children, and she's in kidney failure, and we just worked on making plans for who is gonna take care of her kids when she's gone. There is no other option. She is never gonna have dialysis. The whole country of Togo, there's one dialysis center for the nation of Togo, and you have to pretty much be a politician or a relative of one to use it. Whereas in America, everyone with kidney failure gets unlimited dialysis, even if they'd never pay for it. In fact, almost most of them don't pay for it. In America, about 500,000 Americans are on dialysis. And of those, over 80% are paid by your taxes, by Medicare, at a cost of over $100,000 per year. And for me, like you guys, that's normal. But for me, I just know, well, what could I have done with that? That same $100,000 per year, I could have dewormed 10 schools and saved 100 lives. I could have cured 75 people in 7 villages from malaria, and they still have a mom or dad, right? And so this is the thing I can't unsee. All right, so why us? All right, I'm taking you down a bit, but we'll bring you back up, all right? Hang in there with me. So obviously the need is unparalleled overseas. Why us? Well, guess what? You know, you could say, well, shouldn't the military do that? Shouldn't the government do that? Shouldn't the USAID do that? Well, they do, but guess what? We are the one percenters. If you make $50,000 a year or more, and if you don't, please talk to me, okay? Unless you're part-time. You're the 1%. You're the top 1% wealthiest people globally in the world. You are the 1%. When the kids in Africa, when the moms are praying, God, send someone to help my child, send someone to give me an answer, they're hoping God sends you because you know what to do and you have the means to get there. So what we consider poverty in this country would actually be unimaginable wealth in most of the places where I work. Can you make a difference? Well, ask this little 9-year-old boy. He came in here, he fell and broke his arm. That's his ulna protruding. There's flies landing on it. This is a very simple procedure to take out this little fragment. You know, that takes 10 minutes. How do we make a sustainable impact, though? You think, well, great, you can help a few thousand people each time you go. So what you do is you partner with the local community. So my friends and I, in 2008, established a nonprofit called One World Health. And you can go to the website, oneworldhealth.com. On the app on your phone, you can find the link. So what we do is we start clinics all around the world. We have about 24 in Africa now, mostly in Uganda. But these clinics run nonstop year round. They're employing local people. We use local doctors mostly, local administrators. So it's very low cost. They run all the time, and then when you come down, you support them. So we tell them, oh, we have this dermatology PA coming. They're from Arkansas. They're amazing. They know how to take moles off and skin tags. What? Keloids even? Yes. And they have this magic in a bottle called Kenalog, and we're going to teach you how to use Kenalog to inject the site so the keloids don't come back as much. And that's true, and that's how it works. And then all the physicians get excited to watch you take a keloid off and learn from you how to remove a keloid and how to use intralesional Kenalog, and then you leave some with them. So these things, you're investing in the physicians in the community and then the physicians that stay there. You know, you've left a microscope. You've taught them how to do a KOH or a scabies prep. They can do that long after you leave. What do we accomplish on a short trip? It's a powerful experience. You also expose other people to what PAs do. So I go to Seacoast Church in Charleston, South Carolina, and most of our mission trips, about 20 a year, most of our medical trips are led by PAs, right? And so some people don't even know what a PA is. And I don't blame them. The title is misleading, right? Your dental assistant doesn't write prescriptions and remove teeth, but your physician assistant or physician associate, they will learn as they see and interact with you what it is you do, what you're capable of. And the whole team does. You will learn better what physical therapy can do and how important a pharmacist is. So these all the teams we send are very multidisciplinary and integrated with local practitioners as well. So you'll learn what a clinical officer in Africa does. So there's this great interchange of procedures and professions that occurs. This is on the left, I'm working with a clinical officer doing hand surgery, and this is my wife on the right doing a circumcision. I hate doing circumcisions, but my wife used to do them all. Now she doesn't go as much anymore, and I have to do them. It's awful. It's really always sweaty in the room when you do a circumcision for some reason. All right, so we work with foreign medical professionals. This is earlier this year. This is a group of Togolese physicians. The one on the right, his name's Eli, and he loves dermatology. And here he is assisting me removing a tumor from someone's thigh. And these are the guys, when I leave and I do biopsies, they follow up on my patients there in Africa and give me pictures and feedback and check up on people after I'm gone. So I learn from them a lot about everything. You know, what are resistance patterns in this community? What are affordable antihypertensives in this area? How does somebody with a Bruelli ulcer get treatment in this country? And then they learn from us, maybe surgical procedures or different medicines that we use, or dosing for medications, which vary by country. So are you really helping anyone? Ask this girl. Her name is Sunday. At 5 years old, she was hot, just sitting in the corner, wouldn't talk to anybody. What happened is when she was a baby, she was burned. It's very common in Africa. A lot of kids fall into fire or soup or something falls and they burn. And the way the burns are treated is they wrap them up. So they might wrap the hand like this or they wrap the leg like this. And so, because the baby cries, if you try to stretch those fingers out, the baby cries, right? But what happens, as you know, is adhesions occur. And so the hand is stuck like this or the leg is stuck like this. Well, she had her leg stuck and her hip stuck. So they just put her in the corner. She didn't play soccer, didn't go to school, couldn't walk anywhere. She just was on the dirt floor all day, every day. So what did we do? We did some scar revision and got her leg straight. Physical therapist gave her parents exercises and stretches to teach her. And a week later, they emailed this picture of her standing up. She walks to school, she plays soccer. This kid has a normal life now. And that took us maybe an hour and a half. So this is why I keep going back. All right, this young mother came to our clinic in South Africa, and she said, this is typical for derm, you get this history that means absolutely nothing, it's completely wrong. And she said, every time I eat meat, these spots appear. Well, she has syphilis, okay? But 2 weeks of doxycycline, she's clear, she's cured. And a year later, you know, I'm looking at the volunteers. There's always a whole bunch of volunteers. And I'm like, I know you. I recognize this lady. I'm like, you're Nakatula. We saw you last year. You had that rash. Those pills worked. She's like, yeah, the pills worked. And I'm like, what are you doing here? She's like, I'm volunteering. I'm interpreting for you guys now. I'm like, great. So she's now one of us. She's on our team now. All right, so you're gonna need the ARS for this. There's an audience response system. If you pull up your phone, there's the CVent app. Go ahead and get in there. And if you go to this event, the second box on the bottom looks like a little calendar. You should go to this event, which is, it says 9:29. And then swipe up and you'll see survey or polls. Go to polls. All right, and they'll open that. Probably it's already open. So this is a mystery case, a young male patient. This guy came in hopping with a big stick in his hand. He said, you know, you gotta help me. This thing wasn't there a few years ago, but now it's there. He's hopping along and there's this thing on the bottom of his foot. It's this big mass and it bleeds a little bit, not a lot, but he can't walk on it. It's uncomfortable and it's protruding. So what do you think he has? What's your guess? Now, to be fair, these are hard things, so, but just have a stab at it. I put my guess in. I hope I'm right. Okay, actually, good job. Good job. Yeah, so looks like, oh, it's changing. Okay. All right, so this is Kaposi sarcoma. And in this setting, I had seen so many Kaposi sarcomas in Kenya. So many this week. I'm not biopsying this. I know what it is, right? It's obviously Kaposi's. It's purple, a big purple mass on the foot in an area where Kaposi's is endemic. So the treatment is just surgical. You just take it off. This takes 5 minutes. You just numb around it, a little circle with some lidocaine with epinephrine like we do every day at work. Take your Bovie, grab it with a piece of gauze, pull on it, just Bovie across, bzz, 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 it's done. 5 minutes later, this guy's got a bandage on his foot. He's walking on foot, okay? This thing's cauterized, and the people you work with now see, oh, that's how you treat these things. Well, we donated a Bovie to that clinic. So in America, when you see Kaposi's, you have to suspect HIV, but in Africa, it's actually endemic, and many people who do not have HIV have Kaposi's. We don't know why. It's mysterious. All right, so there are different types of Kaposi's, which are not that important. Just recognize it visually. That purplish color could be on the body, but it can be on the feet. There's also a tinea-like variant. That's a plaque variant. This could be on the foot. But again, it has a sort of a purplish color. You can do a punch biopsy to clarify the diagnosis. And I'd say in the US and overseas, HIV testing is indicated. But the cause is actually human herpes virus 8, which is very common among Africans. We don't know why. Maybe malaria, malnutrition, that's what we always think, and we don't know what things are caused by there. All right. And y'all can shout out questions or go to the mics if you have questions. We will also have question time at the end. In fact, if I get towards the end and I'm not done, y'all please cut me off. All right, I get asked this all the time. Well, Michael, is my PA license valid overseas? Well, of course not. It's useless. Is anyone else's license valid here? No, okay? Nobody's license is valid outside the country where it's issued. It doesn't matter, right? So for every country we operate in, we just get specific permission from that country. You can't just show up in some random country with your PA license and say, okay, bring me some patients, right? You have to get permission to be there, to practice medicine. Some countries you have to practice with locals, some you don't. It's just different rules, but we always work with established projects that are locally rooted so that we have all the correct permissions, right? What I can say is since 1997, I've done, I don't even know how many missions, but dozens of countries, nothing bad. I've never seen anything bad happen or anybody get in trouble, okay? You know, we're there because we care. They know we're there to help. And I think there's just great cooperation between church and government and nonprofits and, you know, local politicians. Everybody kind of wants to be associated with the people that are helping people, right? But there are many medical projects that include PAs, and I would say it's better. What matters when you're there is what you know. You just do what you know, right? If somebody comes to you with uterine bleeding and that makes you nervous, or they have a heart sound you don't recognize, fine, that's not your patient, all right? The cardiologist is in the chair right over here, say, hey, come look, listen to this heart. But you know skin or other things or certain surgical procedures, that's what you do. We usually even send lists beforehand down to where we're going and say, hey, there's the top 50 things I want. These are my surgical cases I want. They will collect those cases for you. All right, number two, get your ARS ready. We have five mystery cases. Number two is an adult male, healthy, generally, HIV negative, but for the past 5 years, his skin is becoming covered with leathery hide, palms and soles first, very thick, but now this is starting to take over his body, waist down, including his genitals, everything is being constricted and leathery. It's like when venom overtook Spider-Man and that black suit came over and just covered him. It looks just like that. There's these finger-like projections and starfish-like structures where this thing is just kind of just crawling over and taking over his body. In fact, it's so aggressive, it's pinching off his fingers and more. And his fingers are falling off. In fact, the reason he came in is because that right hand fifth digit, the pinky finger, was excruciatingly painful, and he just wanted someone to take his finger off. That's the only reason he came in that day, because he figured, you know, nobody could probably cure him, but at least get this finger off. Which we did. So here's a first-year PA student, which did his amputation. There's a little finger. He was very happy to have that finger off. So what does he have? Now, just to be fair, I had no idea what this was. And I did a biopsy, and I had to learn about it myself. But take a guess. What do you think? So pull your ARS out. Take a stab at it. Is it on still on number one? Are you guys getting it to work, the ARS? Oh, it's me, I'm offline, okay. All right, I'm gonna guess something different. Okay. So this is actually chemise syndrome. So chemise syndrome, I thought chemise was the Spanish word for a t-shirt, right? I didn't know this word, right? Well, chemise syndrome is a subtype of Vohwinkel syndrome. Anybody ever heard of that? Right, okay, so don't feel bad, I didn't either. But apparently this is some genetic condition. There's a defect in the lower Krenn gene, and it causes this progressive erythroderma. It's a keratoerythroderma. So it causes this thick, leathery skin to sort of take over your body. And it causes a pseudo-inem. So inem is something that happens in Africa where your fingers fall off. It's actually not that rare. But pseudo-inem is where you have a disease that makes your toes and fingers fall off. And so the treatment is oral retinoids, and we actually started him on vitamin A. You can buy 200,000 IU vitamin A overseas. You can actually buy it here to export. And did an amputation, which you can see on YouTube. So please subscribe to my YouTube channel. It's just YouTube/@MichaelOverCash, but you can see videos of these things. This is normal actual inem. So inem, by definition, is idiopathic. This is your fingers are just auto-amputating for no reason, literally no reason, just because you're in Africa, that's it, all right? I've seen this more than I can count. You just twist them off, throw them away. It's not a big deal. They've all seen it, right? I had a guy one time, I twisted one off, and he's like, can I have that? And I was like, sure. And he just put it in his pocket. I was like, what just happened here? Okay. And my interpreter said, he's worried somebody might do voodoo with it, right? So I was like, okay, all right, you better keep that just in case. All right, but the reality is, all right, what you think you're gonna go on a mission trip and see stuff like what's on the left, right? And this is one of my patients in Uganda. What you actually are gonna see is patients like the one on the right, which has tinea corporis, which you probably would recognize, and 7 days of terbinafine, they're cured. They look like a new kid, right? So don't go thinking I'm showing you some cool stuff, but most of what you see is really, really run-of-the-mill, everyday things you will easily recognize and treat. For example, about half your pediatric patients in some of your locations are gonna have this white, scaly scalp, and it's just severe tinea capitis, which is extremely common, causes a lot of morbidity, but it's easily treated with oral medications like terbinafine or fluconazole, which are very cheap and easy. All right, Mr. Case number three is a 44-year-old male, otherwise generally healthy. He complains that his nose is growing longer despite not telling lies. It's impairing his social function. Transillumination is highly positive. What do you do? What are you gonna do? All right, grab your ARS. The tough thing is you may never see this guy again. He doesn't have access to good medical care. See, number one is ridiculous, right? That is never gonna happen unless you have one on your team, right? Then you just refer, hey, Tom, will you look at this guy? You just referred to ENT, okay? So the lesson is the resource poor environment, right? There's very few dermatologists. So what I did is surgical revision, and that's not hard to do, and it can be life-changing for him. He has actually a nice-looking nose, right? I did do a punch. I opened it up, took a fusiform excision, did a punch biopsy underneath it of the inside, which showed apocrine hydrocystoma. And you know what hydrocystomas are, those little bubbles with eccrine sweat near the eyelids, right? You've all seen those. That's all it is, but now he doesn't have this bubble in his nose. Okay, so pathology should be done in the USA, not overseas, because the quality is so much better in the US. And international law protects your right to transport specimens. I've never had a specimen questioned or had trouble with bringing things into the USA, but just in case, I always bring papers with me, which I'll show you in a second. Just put them in formalin. They need to be formalin at least for 3 days before you transfer them to a Ziploc bag, or just keep them in a little bottle. So here's the forms I bring. I bring a letter, where I authorize myself to do something, which is surprising how well that works all over the world. Then a copy of the code of federal regulation, just show in case they want to question my letter. I'm like, all right, well, here's what US says about this, right? Or I bring the World Health letters on it. You can Google these things. All right, number four, this is a mystery case. We're a little short on time, so we're gonna go a little bit faster here. This is in Uganda. Many patients at this clinic with something like this. Rural farming community, what is the cause? Everyone's feet are dusty and barefooted. That's a hint. So the cause is actually podoconiosis. So podoconiosis is when you walk barefoot. It's caused by not having shoes, by walking barefoot. So dust, especially volcanic ash dust, gets absorbed through your skin, eventually blocks lymphatics and causes lymphedema and elephantiasis and some really interesting presentations. So you can all see that, you guys can't see the poll results. A won, D was tied for last. So these are other good things to think about: mycobacteria, treponema pallidum, filariasis, which is an infection with filarial worms, can cause elephantiasis in a similar presentation. So we are already treating everyone with albendazole to treat parasitic infections. So we're already covering them for that anyway. So just in case they have filariasis, they're also covered. But this is treated with shoes and compression. Now, another thing we see a lot is mycetoma. This is a small infection, like a scratch bug bite, that eventually spreads to cellulitis, osteomyelitis, causes a long-lasting deep infection. I actually saw one this year in the United States. It's a young man with no health insurance that shot himself in the leg accidentally, and he has mycetoma. But this is very important because they will lose their foot eventually. Has to be debrided, and you have to give them multiple antibiotics for a long time. All right, last mystery case. This is hopefully an easier one. Nicaraguan farming community. I saw several patients with similar lesions or growths. Purplish, pink, maybe ulcerated. Nicaragua is a socialist nation, and so they have free health care for everybody. But these guys have been to the hospital several times. They would get Tylenol. That didn't work. They'd come back to the hospital, it's worse. They would get amoxicillin. So what's your ARS? What do you think's going on with him? Let's just say the Tylenol and amoxicillin did not help. All right, good job. Yeah, you guys know what that is. Pigmented basal cell carcinoma is actually more common in phototype 4, so your Asian and Hispanic patients. So missions we do in Southeast Asia, like Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos, I see a lot of these. Same in Latin America, quite a few. The problem is the lack of resources. The lady on the right, I just saw her a few months ago, so I had to remove this from her nose. She actually had a PATH report. She went to one of our feeding programs and was able to get resources from someone there to get a biopsy. So they could tell her it was a BCC, but she did not have any means at all to have it treated. Okay, so how do you get involved? These are the two organizations that I work with the most, oneworldhealth.com and Seacoast Church Medical Missions. I work with some other ones, but these are my two favorite ones. There are plenty more, but here's my pro tip. Find out, are they gonna train you? Is there gonna be preparation? I can't tell you how many times somebody calls or emails me or texts me and says, hey, we're going to Haiti in a week, and what should I expect? And I'm like, where are your leaders? Where is your training? Do you have your surgery suitcase supplied? Do you have everything packed? And there was no preparation. That is not okay with me, okay? You need training, you need preparation, you need supplies. You need to know also that they will use you as a PA, not just an assistant to hand people things or document the charts, right? Some projects, I don't wanna call names out, but there are some big ones you know the names of that do not utilize PAs as PAs. Don't go on those projects. Unless you're okay being a tech or medical assistant, then fine. But make sure that they understand what PAs do, and there'll be supplies, and there will be training. So how to choose a trip. Is there a faith component? Do you want one or not want one? Are there vaccine or cost requirements? Now, the DPAF, the Durham PA Foundation, they offer scholarships for medical missions. It's on all your desks. There's like a little card there, and that's what it says in the top and the back is about. I don't know how to apply for that, but great. Docs Foundation, they will pay your airfare to go on a mission trip, right? I never have to pay. I'm going to Honduras soon, and I just put my link on social media a couple times, and kind people sponsored me, and you can get your trips covered cost-wise. I would say that if your practice won't let you volunteer, that's something you need to have a talk about. Hopefully you can take time off to volunteer. Definitely need passports. All right, one more case. This is not a mystery case, but asymptomatic patient just wants to know what you can do to fix your skin. Fingers and toes are disappearing, but this is not INM, this is leprosy actually. So we do see leprosy, and that is an infection that requires multiple antibiotics over time. That's something that's treated in country. A mimic can be dentocutaneous fistula. We see kids like this where they have a cavity that's not treated. It's why dental services are so important. It locks their jaw closed. She lost a lot of weight by not being able to eat. If you treat the cavities early, this never happens. So we do treat a lot of, this is one of my patients, I removed her fistula and her rotten teeth. I actually do a lot of dental extractions because it's just such an important thing. And it's, I'll never be a dentist, but I can do extractions quite well. And it's not too much for you to learn because you already have a surgical background. Keloids, all day long. We treat so many keloids in Africa. It's socially stigmatizing. For example, this lady was kept from school because in her community and culture, it was believed that keloids on the child were a sign the African gods were punishing the parents for something bad they did. And so they kept her head covered with a scarf and never let her go to school because of her keloids. All right, so this lady needs to be in school. I love the joy on her face, just getting these keloids off her ears. And for you and me, this is not a difficult surgery. Supplies to bring, there's a lot to bring. You're pretty much recreating your office and it's school or a church. I love having things pre-packed in Ziploc bags, like these trays or kits where it's like, oh, we're doing an excision of a cyst, bam. You just drop it on the tray, everything's there, it's all ready to go. One thing, don't forget baby powder. It's so hot and sweaty some places, you can't get your hands in the gloves. I always bring like extra large gloves, baby powder, just so you can get them on. You're gonna have supplies you need for clinic, for triage, for provider stations. Now, your host organization should provide all of this. But just make sure they are providing all these things. Pharmacy, we use special labels that are language-free using symbols that we put in Ziploc bags with medications. And we bring about, 300 different medications on each trip. It's just an essential part of what you do is the whole process of triage, vital signs, consult, therapy, and then pharmacy at the very end and pharmacy teaching at the end. Leader's gonna have supplies to bring. This is actually the old pharmacy at my church. And glasses. Glasses are a huge impact. So dollar store glasses are life-changing. For you, it's $1.25 at Dollar Tree. For them, it's, I can finally see my grandchild for the first time. I can finally sew again. I can finally cook again. I can read. I haven't read the Bible in 20 years. Now I can read it. Sometimes you can barely pull it from their hands. They're so excited to see and read after so many years they can't read. So just a huge impact. It's one of my favorite parts of every clinic is glasses. Okay, we're gonna skip a few, I think, for time. We do see a lot of people with tapeworm masses, which are easily removed. Parasitic infections. Okay, so we have time for questions. Any questions?